Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
Once Jesus was asked the question, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" Luke 13, verse 22. How do you think Jesus answered that question? You may be familiar with this passage and know exactly how Jesus answered, but some of you may not know. And so this morning I want to talk about Jesus' response to the question, "Are there few who are saved?" Well, how do people today answer this question? Some would answer by saying, "Well, no, all men will be saved. They believe in what is called universal redemption." And still others know that some people are lost, but it is difficult for them to admit that any of their acquaintances, friends, and family could be lost. Their view is that these people are not perfect, but all of them have some good in them, and so surely they will not be lost. They know some people are lost, but they don't know who they could be, except maybe a Charles Manson or an Adolf Hitler or some serial killer. And so in their mind, most will be saved. Others may say, "Well, I may not go to heaven, but I'm not bad enough to go to hell." They may think that the majority of people fall into this category. In other words, there is some intermediary state between heaven and hell that won't be that bad where most people will go. But the Bible teaches that there are only two destinations, eternal life or eternal punishment, heaven or hell. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, Jesus pictures for us the judgment. He says that when he comes to judge, he will divide the nations as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Notice, there are only two groups in the judgment. And those on the right will go into eternal life, and those on the left will go away into eternal punishment. Verse 46. Well, we will be in either one or the other of these groups. We will be saved and go to heaven, or we will be lost and go to hell. There is no intermediary state between these two destinations. Well, how did Jesus respond to the question, "Are there few who are saved?" Of course, Jesus knew the right answer to this question. He is qualified to answer it correctly. You see, he is the Son of God, and also he will be the one who judges us in that day. Acts 17, verse 31. Well, what did Jesus say? Well, here is what he said. "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you where you are from,' then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.'" That's Luke 13, verses 24 through 27. And so Jesus' answer, as it relates to the amount of people who will be saved, is that only few will be saved. He says there is coming a time when many will want to enter and will not be able. Only few will be able to enter. Elsewhere, Jesus said, "Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it." Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. And on more than one occasion, Jesus declared that many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 20, verse 16, also Matthew 22, verse 14. And so clearly, Jesus taught that few will be saved. Well, how many does it take to make up a few? Well, I don't know, but it is less than the many. In Noah's day, a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water, it says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. Now, I am not saying that only eight people will be saved and go to heaven, but the few is not most, and it's certainly not all. It is few. And so it is false comfort to go through life believing that everyone we know, all our friends, neighbors, and relatives, and all of their friends, neighbors, and relatives, along with our favorite celebrities, politicians, and football coaches, will be saved. Now, we wish they would be. So does God. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. But this is not the way it is. And so the question is raised, why? Why are few saved and many are lost? Well, the answer is given in Jesus' response to the question, are there few who are saved? Notice he said to the people, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Also in Matthew 7, where we read earlier, Jesus said to the people, enter ye in by the narrow gate. You see, the ones to whom Jesus is speaking are given a choice. The choice is to enter the narrow gate or not to enter it. If they choose to enter through the narrow gate, they will be saved and find life. But if they choose not to enter the narrow gate, but rather enter the wide gate, they will find destruction. And here Jesus is encouraging them to enter the narrow gate. He wants them to make that choice. The reason few are saved is that few choose to enter the narrow gate. The choice is ours. Salvation is conditional. Now, salvation is made available to all men because Jesus died for all men. John 3 verse 16, Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Titus 2 and verse 11 says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now, the reason all are not saved is because salvation is conditional. Some meet the conditions, they enter the narrow gate and find life, while others choose the wide gate and end up in destruction. The fact is, only few choose to enter the narrow gate. But I want to emphasize that God has made it possible for everyone who wants to enter the narrow gate and be saved. You can be a part of the few if you want to. But notice that Jesus also says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. In order for them to be saved and be a part of the few, they would have to strive to enter through the narrow gate. The word strive comes from the Greek word agonizomai. This word was used by the Greeks of one who entered an athletic contest or one who contended in the gymnastic games. Thayer, in his Greek-English lexicon, gives this definition, to contend with adversaries, fight. You know, we get the English word agonize from this Greek word. Why is it that few are saved? Well, you see, only few strive to enter through the narrow gate. Only few are willing to fight, struggle, agonize to enter. And Jesus here is also saying that there will be many who will think they are saved when they are not. He says, many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Well, why are they not able? Well, Jesus goes on to say, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, and he will answer and say to you, I do not know you where you are from. You see, the gospel call to salvation has its limitations of time. The door of mercy is open for a time, but not indefinitely. There is coming a time when the door will be shut. This is when the Lord comes, the day of judgment. On this day, many will stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. When the Lord says, I do not know you where you are from, they will say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. In other words, they're saying, you know, we were your friends, we listened to you, we did not persecute you, etc. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Jesus indicates here that it is possible to be deceived. We can think we are saved when we are not. Jesus is talking about people who think they are saved because they believe in Him. They are friendly toward Him. They may give Him some form of service, but at the same time they are workers of iniquity, workers of unrighteousness. Paul says in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You know, a person may think that he can sow to his flesh and still reap eternal life, but it will not happen. He has been deceived. A person may think that since he believes in Jesus and attends church services that he is saved, but if he is sowing to his flesh, he will reap corruption. Jesus wants these people to know that if you are to be saved, it will involve more than just being friendly toward him. He is saying you must strive, fight, labor to enter the narrow gate by putting away sin from your life. And notice, it is the narrow gate. And as in Matthew chapter 7, it is the narrow gate and the straitened way. The words narrow and straighten indicates that the gate and way are restricted. In other words, the way to life has restrictions. The one who enters this gate and goes down the way to life must live within the confines of truth and righteousness. He can't just live the way he wants to live. He must seek the will of God and strive to follow it. This striving requires labor and struggle. We labor to learn the will of God by reading and studying His Word. We make sure that our beliefs and practices are found in the Scriptures, not adding to or taking from His Word. We struggle and fight to overcome the temptations to commit sin. And when we do commit sin, we genuinely repent of those sins and strive to do better. And note the contrast between that narrow gate and straitened way, restricted way, which leads to life, and the wide gate and broad way which leads to destruction. The broad way is the way of least resistance. Do your own thing. Follow your own heart. If it feels right, then do it. Well, that's the way that leads to destruction. Why is it that few are saved? It is because only few are willing to strive to enter through the narrow gate. Only few are willing to make the sacrifices necessary to conform their will to the will of God. James says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." James 1, verses 21 and 22. The word of God is able to save our souls, but it will only save those who are doers of the word and not just hearers. As you read through the Bible, you will never find where God showered His blessings on anyone who believed in Him but refused to obey Him. It is the obedient believer that is blessed. As James said in verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Many today believe that Jesus is Lord, but they're not willing to obey Him in all things. You see, it is only the few who will choose to make Jesus the Lord of their lives by striving to be an obedient believer. You know, someone says, "Aren't we saved by grace?" Yes, but it is only those who strive to enter through the narrow gate who will be recipients of that grace. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like an audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcast, just give us your name and address and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. There are three ways that you may send in your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. That's FIDNET.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You are invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ. Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship. Sunday evening at 5 for worship. Wednesday night, Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.